Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Here we go. It is Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss, Pauly Howard with you. We are live in downtown Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino. Busy 3-hour program lined up today on the docket. Nick Whalen on the program. Early look, Super Bowl props potentially, NBA games tonight that we have going on. Warren Sharp, his reaction to yesterday, his early gut reaction to the matchup that we have in 2 weeks. And Jima Pelegi is going to be in studio. Circa NFL odds maker. They are announcing Circa Squares and the odds and how they do it on our show coming up at 6 o'clock Eastern, 3 o'clock Pacific time. Yesterday was a doozy of a day in the NFL, and you could not have had back-to-back games that were any different. Nothing happened in the first game, and yet it was unbelievable to me because of snow football, and we'll touch on this a little bit later on. I can't believe people complain about snow football and inclement weather. It blows my mind. And then you had the game yesterday where it was so good, Paulie. I want to go back and watch it like every day this week, but yet it feels like part of me was completely gutted because of all my Rams futures, and I hope the NFL actually burns all video from the game and it never shows up anywhere ever again. That was painful.
Yep.
Yesterday.
Great job, Sam Darnold. Great job, Seahawks offense. Way to be aggressive. Way to go for it on the final drive. You get the cup first down. You get the hold on JSN. A terrific back and forth game. I think if they play 100 times, every game's going to be close. Mm-hmm. I just think they're two evenly matched teams, and how the MVP Stafford played in the last two games and to lose both of them is just unbelievable. But we said two things for months, and especially all week, that the Rams special teams is going to bite them in the ass, and Stidham can't make a big mistake, and Stidham can't be the reason they lose. Mm-hmm. And Stidham was the reason they lost, and the Rams, who were 26th in DVOA in special teams, made the big mistake and the big blunder on the muff punt that changed things as well. And then you couldn't convert there, where it's third and four, fourth and four. They get the stop. They essentially run the clock out, and Sam Darnold was clean. And he did this, and you got to go back to Brady to win back-to-back 14-win seasons, and now the kids going to the Super Bowl.
So I can't decide which was the bigger back-breaking moment in the game yesterday for Rams backers and future ticket holders on that team as well. That was a masterpiece of a potential championship drive that they were putting on, that 13-play drive that resulted in no points. I cannot believe they did not score on that drive to eventually take the lead back at 30, what would have been 34-31. But also, going back to the touchdown when they scored to make it 31-26, you might want to go for two there.
2 minutes left in the third quarter. Yeah, I was surprised. You might need that one. That's a biggie.
Maybe.
That's a biggie. So, and it was a gift, too. That's the other thing. You're playing with house money. Because, as multiple people said, that could have been a Bill Buckner moment for Woolen.
Yeah,
now,
true.
My comeback is, we're not playing for milk and cookies. You're calling that in an NFC title game? You make that call?
Pretty weak sauce.
That was terrible.
Pretty weak sauce, in my opinion.
Who's that exactly for? Because I can intercept a pass, and I gave my buddy Mitch, come on. And the whole team can then run down the length of the field, celebrate, and do
They can dance, take their pants off, do whatever they want.
Right. But if I woof and bark at the sideline, that's taunting.
No good.
And who's that for? How do owners in the competition committee come up with this and say, yeah, we really gotta watch this and hunker down and make sure this isn't a problem in the league.
Uncalled for in this sport. Yeah. Can't have that.
In any event, it was a horrific 3 minutes for the guy because you're going to get the ball back and then, first down, 35-yard line, and then Puka burns you on the next play.
Right in your face.
And then it's game on. So he could have gone for two, I know. Other people wanted him to kick the field goal. I think, no, you go for it. And it was a bizarre comment from McVay after the game that a busted coverage, two guys going on Williams, allowed them to stop the play. Which was weird, but yeah, they got the stop on third down and fourth down.
I will actually say that the biggest moment of the game, though, was the stretch of time that took place to close up the first half and then to begin the second half, and they'll never be able to get that back. And that was when they took the lead 13-10 after it looked like Seattle was going to do whatever they wanted offensively for the entire game. Rams settled down. They showed some composure. They had a 13-10 lead. They got the ball back with plenty of time to go down there and add points. That could have been 16-10 or maybe even 20-10 with a touchdown. Mm-hmm. But instead, they go three and out, and they allowed the Seahawks to go 70-plus yards in under a minute to score a touchdown. And then the Seahawks got the ball back to begin the second half. The defense did a great job getting off the field. And then the blunder of all blunders with the muff punt, like you said.
Yeah.
That stretch. So it goes from potentially Rams 20-10 or 16-10 to Seahawks 24-13 in what felt like a blink of an eye.
Yep.
That, and they almost came back to win the game.
Mm-hmm.
But that stretch of time just over, I'll never get it out of my head.
And you know how I feel about it too. I'm just like, why even put a guy back there? I mean, Smith is—he's back at his own 10-yard line, and he muffs it.
How do you
do
that? How?
He trips. He just falls down.
Oh my God!
And then all the plays to JSN and how well Darnold played, and they did it. And this guy—I guess I should have seen it coming, being from Minnesota and a Vikings fan—that it's typical Vikings fashion that you have such a great regular season, he implodes in the playoff game, he costs himself money, and they say, "Well, we have to move on." And of course, he goes to the Super Bowl. And they, I mean, it's not like they were a bad team. They won 10 games last year.
That's right.
But to go from Darnold to Geno in a well-coached team and a nasty defense, and you add, the Shahid deal was great as well, but that was a great performance offensively, and I loved how aggressive they were on the final drive. Because a lot of coaches and a lot of teams would just say, run, we'll trust our defense. But they were going pass. You picked up the first down. You got the holding call. And you got the win. You essentially ran out the clock as the Rams didn't have time.
I went back and looked today. The date was February 28th when I made a limit bet on the Rams to win the Super Bowl.
Was it Adams? After the Adams news?
It was after Stafford announced that he was coming back.
Oh, okay.
So February 28th, that's almost 11 months ago to the date. So that, I mean, it was with me for an entire year. Talked about it several times on the show. Loved this team going into the season. And look, I mean, I'll never understand the crowd that's like, show me your tickets. I don't come from that school of thinking, but for a little context on why that game hurt a little bit yesterday. Now this is probably a lot of money for some people. It is nothing. And it's like people scoff at this much. I don't know. People bet this much on games on a weekly basis. I stood to win $75,000 of the Rams winning the Super Bowl. So that would have been a nice chunk of change. That would have been a nice ticket on future bets with that team. And to have them go down like that and lose, but that's typical for them to blow a game like they did. And look, give Seattle a ton of credit. The Rams had that game so many different times yesterday, and they just, the way I look at it, as somebody who lost out on that much money, I think they gave the game away several times yesterday.
Uh-huh.
Killer loss.
Yep.
But Seattle,
they certainly gave away the one seed.
No question they did.
The Thursday night game, special teams got them. The 49er game, the first meeting. The Eagle game, special teams got them. Special teams got them in this one. And all that adds up, and he should have been at home.
To your point about Stafford playing like that twice in a row to the Seahawks in the last 5 weeks, 370-plus passing yards, 3 touchdouns in each game, 3-plus in each game, and no INTs. Brady lost twice in his 23 NFL career by doing that. Stafford lost twice to the same team in the last 5 weeks.
Yep.
Also, not all games are created equally. I get that. But the two MVP short shots here that's going to come down to, Stafford, absolutely brilliant. Again, passer rating of 127.6, 374 overall, 3 touchdowns, and a loss. Drake May completed 10 out of 21 for 86 yards, 1 touchdown, and had a passer rating of 58.8. They won the game.
They had one nice drive.
Yeah, that was it.
I know.
They did absolutely nothing in the entire game, and I know everybody's talking about the 3 points by Peyton. That's not results-based. That was real time, where people were like, what are you doing,
That's
man?
Right.
You need to kick this field goal right now, which was shorter than an extra point.
And a lot of people showed their text threads going back and forth.
Yep.
About you got to kick the field goal here and go up 10-0 in what should be a low-scoring game and your defense is balling out. What are you doing? After the game, he said, I was thinking 14-0. And the play never had a chance.
Oh, my God.
That's
almighty.
The other thing. It was a total jailbreak. But to have your backup, we knew he was going to do it, too. That's the thing. He's so stubborn. To throw the ball in the conditions that we had 31 times with a backup quarterback and your defense is balling out, that was Sean Payton. And the pass on the field goal, and Nick Bonino said it after. I'm sick. The better team didn't win.
That's absolutely. That's how
sick
I felt about both
stomach.
Games.
That's right.
Honestly, for some reason, like as somebody who's going to be 50 years old pretty soon, well, in a year, whatever, I can't get over that. That still affects me. So that's always going to be a thing in my life, I guess. I have a problem when the wrong team wins. And I thought the wrong team won both games yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you might disagree. That's fine. But to me, that's how I saw both those games.
Well, I think if they have Knicks, they run away with it. But
I would agree.
In any event, if Lutz hits from 45 mm-hmm. to tie the game at 10 with 4 minutes left, are they still playing? I mean, you have to think about that. Who's scoring then? That was so bad where all of a sudden, after the New England drive to start the third quarter, and then you get late third, and then early fourth, it's like you can't see anything. Mm-hmm. And I thought Tracy Wolfson did a great job on the sideline showing the wind and then also how bad it was. Look at this. Good job by Luke. And look at how that changed.
In the span of 10 minutes.
So we knew there was going to be snow in the second half, but we didn't know it was going to be a blizzard and look like that, where you didn't stand a chance and there were four missed field goals and you could hardly punt. I mean, Denver takes over at the New England 32 after that shanked. And they still had the field goal blocked, and that's, I mean, who knows how long that game goes.
I will say, to me, the way it played out, the Patriots realized that the Broncos couldn't do anything on offense in the second half.
Yeah.
So they could
32 yards, to your point. 32 yards.
Yeah, and that's why Vrabel and the crew, I believe this, that they just said, we don't have to do anything on offense. We can be as conservative as we possibly want now. In fact, as conservative as you think we can be, let's even be more conservative than that. So I think their entire game plan would have changed if the Broncos had that field goal, if they kicked it earlier in the game, or if that one by Lutz would have been good from 45. What a day yesterday. Patriots fans are not going to like my early feel for the game, but I think it's going to surprise you. We'll get into it coming up on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
Is Follow the Money on VSiN.
How about this for a sweat? A better back on August 25th here at Circa. Jeffrey Benson tweeted this out. They played a Super Bowl exacta. Patriots over the Seahawks. 3,100 to 1. 100 bucks pays 310,000. 100 bucks.
How about that?
In a pretty decent spot here.
Uh-huh. They were the Patriots were 125 to 1 after week 3.
Oh.
When another loss and they fell to 1-2 on the season, and now they've won 16 of 17. And every break is going their way, and here they are in the Super Bowl as their offense continues to sputter and May continues to struggle, but the defense has been balling out. And if we're all thinking alike, we're not thinking. So you go to ESPN.com today. Who do you like? All 11 people pick Seattle. And it just it feels like, and this got up to 5.5 at some spots last night, but you never want to be prisoner of the moment. But this is one where it's how the Patriots going to move the ball here with how bad the offenses look.
Yeah, here are the numbers overall in the playoffs: fewer than 16 points per game, 4.4 yards per play, 13 of 43 on third down. Defense, they've allowed fewer than 9 points per game, 3.3 yards per play, 8 takeaways, 1 touchdown scored. Like, legitimately, one of the worst, I think it's the worst offensive run ever for a team to make the Super Bowl in the playoffs, but their defense has been the exact opposite.
Yeah.
And so what was in your head yesterday, Paulie, not before the NFC game even kicked off, as the AFC game was playing out, how were you thinking about the Super Bowl matchup? And then were you talking to people? Because I was talking to a bunch of people, and I was like on social media as well. There was one common theme that I saw. And it was the NFC's going to blast the winner of the AFC game.
Mm-hmm. That's been getting some hype the last couple of months. Yeah, absolutely.
So my early feel is there's going to be, I have so many people say after the game last night, Seahawks are going to absolutely, that's the common thought, right? Reacting to what happened in those games yesterday. There is a path where Seattle can take their door, I mean, just blow this team off the field. The NFC was clearly better than the AFC this year. I don't think it's going to go out like that.
I would think low-scoring game, number one.
I think the Patriots can win it.
Who's going to be able to run the ball in this game? Seattle's so good with their run defense, and New England run defense has been sick
right
when everyone's healthy. So then it comes, the only thing that's working for May is he's scrambling and beating you with his feet. But he hasn't been accurate, and there's been nothing in the passing game other than the second half against the Chargers, and it's the third time a team won a title game scoring 10 points or fewer. But I would think that the total's too high, and it's going to be no team's going to have success on the ground in this one.
Yeah, I don't think the Seahawks win a close game. Again, we can change our opinion here. We'll definitely be talking. We'll let it breathe a little bit over the next 2 weeks, obviously. But my early thought was yesterday, last night, and still today, like, I don't see the Seahawks winning a close game. I think they either kill them or the Patriots win it outright. And so I have, you know, like everybody else, 13 days now to settle with our final conclusion on the game, how we're going to approach it overall. I think you're right, total 46 here. I don't see other team getting the ground games going whatsoever. And also there's this, like, the Seahawks defense is really good. I mean, we saw again yesterday, the Rams offense is just preposterous. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're ridiculously good. Okay. I don't think the Patriots offense will look anything like they did yesterday. That's May was awful again.
Yeah.
And he did nothing in the air.
Yep.
Now, maybe that will be a theme here of the playoffs and they keep getting away with it. But who had him throwing for under 100 yards? The answer is nobody. He's the first quarterback in NFL history to win an AFC title game by throwing for fewer than 100 yards.
Yeah.
Like he'll throw for, I can't imagine a scenario where he's going to throw for 80 yards again.
He got most of it on the flea flicker to Hollins.
That's right.
Think about that.
Yeah.
The Patriots had one nice drive. One good drive.
Oh, they were gift-wrapped the game.
Yeah, they were.
Because of the stupid
Absolutely.
Pass by Stidham.
Yep.
I don't think they were going to score.
No way. No way. And that's why it hurts so much if you're a Bronco fan or if you had them and all that. But it's just, I think it started like 4 years ago. And when it was a playoff game, Kyler Murray did an underhand pass from his own end zone, which was a pick six. Jordan Love also had a horrible interception against the Rams. But something has changed where these guys think, whatever I do, I can't take a sack. And even the Patriots have drilled it home to May, and he said it again on that TV interview with the sideline reporter, it's okay to punt. It's okay to punt. You just got to repeat that. It's okay to punt. And it's 7-0 late in the second quarter, and it's 3rd-and-4. And Stidham keeps backing up. He's backing up. He's looking. And then finally, when he's hit, he decides to get rid of the ball where it's just fall down. Just they're not moving the ball.
Yep.
Your defense is balling out. It's okay to take a sack. And these guys think it's the worst thing in the world. And he's the reason they lost. And you gift wrap New England 7 points. And I don't know what he was doing on the interception. Throwing it up for maybe miscommunication, but the interception to Gonzalez, too, at the end. So it was just after the one nice throw he made, but they should have won that game 10-3.
And I know that this has been another really common thought, but it's spot on. You knew the weather was going to change. Everybody, like, even outside of Denver, we knew. I mean, the weather was coming. Like, it's not, it doesn't take a genius to figure that out. Like, just if you pay attention to football and betting and weather, you knew that the weather was going to be coming at some point in the second half, and it was going to be, you know, changing things up a little bit. Peyton knew, had to know that.
Yeah.
Had to know that. So instead you don't want to go up 10-0. In a game like that, 10-0 is pretty much insurmountable.
Mm-hmm.
This is the exact opposite yesterday of like settling for points because you were going to score touchdowns all day in that game last night. The early game, nothing's happening.
Yes.
If you have a chance at 3, you might want to take that attempt.
Yeah. So he said, I wanted 14-0, as I said earlier. Also, I can't believe we lost and that fourth down play. He wanted it over again.
I don't know if you can challenge that.
He was terrible.
Yep, he was.
It was just a bad job by Peyton and not reading the room and not understanding the situation. And that was, maybe should have been a stronger case with the under. I didn't know it would turn into a blizzard. But you felt that the Denver defense was going to ball out and play well, knowing that they had a Stidham in there. And I also have to admit, we were sold a false goods and bunch of nonsense on Stidham, too. I mean, he was terrible.
He was. All that hubbub about him.
Oh, absolutely.
How the Broncos feel comfortable that they have two of the best 32 in the league. Wow.
Yeah, he was bad.
Holy carumba.
He made one nice throw. That's it. Now, he was nervous, but you see, even the simple stuff he couldn't complete early on when they had stuff lined up and well-designed that he couldn't even execute there.
I'll give you a couple of notes on this game. 46, lowest total since 10 years ago. Broncos-Panthers. That total was 43. That game I loved. I loved the Broncos as a dog in that game. And the under, every which way but loose. That was a good Super Bowl for me. It's also the first meeting where both coaches were first-time Super Bowl coaches since Super Bowl, I don't know, what's L? Do we know what L is at 50? The same thing?
I think that's 50.
That's 50? Okay. I'm not up on my Roman numerals.
I don't get that either.
The underdogs have covered the last 5 years in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
And there's also this. I could not believe it when I saw this little nugget. Sam Darnold is the first USC quarterback to start a Super Bowl.
No way. Oh, that's something.
That blew me away.
It's also historic. For the first time in 50 years, you got a Super Bowl where both teams were 60-1 or higher.
Yep.
And you have to go back to the 1991 World Series when it was Minnesota and Atlanta. And I think the Twins were 80-1 and the Braves were like 120-1.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is staggering that you got 80-1 against 60-1 in the Super Bowl. And the stars aligned with all the big-name quarterbacks and big-name teams that missed out. And that this is your matchup here, and we'll talk about a long shot that came in as well at 1,000-1.
Yeah, tip of the cap here to Dante Koplowitz Fleming on X. Quarterbacks under the age of 24 against Mike McDonald's defenses since 2023. Their record is 0-6. They've thrown for one touchdown. They've had 8 INTs and taken 22 sacks. Drake May, 23 years old, will look to become the youngest quarterback to ever win a Super Bowl. That's a hell of a stat. That's like Bill Belichick numbers right there against young quarterbacks.
Strong. Yep. Marino was also 23, but couldn't get it done. And then never got back. The incredible quote, I thought I'd be there on a regular basis.
That's right.
Stunning what happened.
And this trend continues where either the Patriots or the Chiefs make the Super Bowl out of the AFC. Bengals did it that 1 year. Other than that, it was Brady or Mahomes like every single year. And now you go again with Drake May. And we can expand on this a little bit later on. But a couple of coaching takeaways from yesterday. My God, the Tennessee Titans. And you've been yelling about that for years. You love the guy in Tennessee.
He's so variable, so underrated. And how the one seed playoff contender, winning games with Malik, keeping it close with Malik Willis, almost winning the division, and getting it done and getting the one seed with Tannehill. Defense and running the ball. No, don't want that. Got to go in a different direction. And how it goes right into New England and goes from 4-13 to the Super Bowl.
Give me another one. How about the upgrade in Seattle, Mike McDonald over Pete Carroll?
Yeah.
Now, the talent here is picked up, obviously, over the last couple of years, but Pete Carroll disastrous in Las Vegas. And how about how games go in Seattle in the NFC title games going back? You get the tip from Richard Sherman. Then he talks unbelievable trash about Michael Crabtree on national TV when they win that game at the buzzer. You get the miraculous comeback against Green Bay the year after that. No business winning that game. And then yesterday, just so many gaffes by the Rams. Now, again, I must emphasize this. Darnold was awesome yesterday. JSN, as good as it gets.
Oh, yeah. That was another one that looked obvious but got there.
Yep.
The Puka and JSN props and the 5 yards each quarter and the 10 yards each quarter and all of it. Oh, man. Big tickets.
Something in the water up there. Nick Whalen on the program next. His early thoughts on the game. And also, he'll look at NBA player props on the card for tonight.
Is Follow the Money on VSiN.
More on yesterday's games, early look at the Super Bowl, tonight's NBA card as well. Nick Whalen joins the program now. He's with RotoWire, and he is on the Progressive Guest Line. Overall, Nick, what did you think of the two results yesterday? We were kind of saying earlier it felt like the wrong team. This is our opinion here. People can disagree, whatever. We thought maybe the wrong team won both games. What do you think?
I think that's a fair assessment, to be honest. And, you know, I hate that both of these games had controversial fourth down decisions, of course, that we're going to be talking about the entire offseason. I did not like the decision by Sean Payton to not go up two scores there, given the circumstances, right? Completely different from what we saw in the Rams game, where I think you could reasonably expect the presumptive MVP of the league with three chances from the 6 yard line to cash that in with Puka Nacua and Davante Adams at his disposal. But could not believe Sean Payton passed up on a chance to go up 10-0 in a game that you had to think Denver knew the weather was coming, right? You're playing at home. You have to have somebody in the booth or on the sideline saying, hey, this game is going to turn into a blizzard with wind in the second half. We just absolutely need to get points wherever we could grab them. And that just felt like a huge inflection point, of course, in the Denver game. The two missed field goals were brutal. You know, the fumble a couple possessions later by Jared Stidham. You know, I was sitting there at halftime talking with some buddies, and they're like, man, should we live bet the Broncos in the second half? And I'm like, I don't know if I could get there, man. Like there was a 13-point swing, you know, not taking the points, getting nothing on that drive, missing the field goal, and then giving the Patriots a touchdown on the Stidham fumble. I mean, you guys watch as much ball as anybody. When you leave that many points on the table in the first half, it always comes back to bite you.
Absolutely. The other thing, too, I can't believe throwing 31 times with a backup quarterback who has one career win and a guy who loved to bring out trick plays. Spent all season at bizarre times. And if there was ever a time to do it, the little razzle-dazzle, he'd even try that. There was no creativity from Peyton.
No, and ironically, it was New England that pulled out the trick.
That's right.
Play, right? I mean, that ended up being the only explosive, really, in the second half outside of a couple Drake May scampers that count as an explosive play but weren't really explosive. It was that flea flicker to Matt Collins. And yeah, I think, you know, to me, I came into this game with relatively high expectations for Jarrett Stidham. I didn't think this would be just a total rollover game for Denver. It was clear like three or four plays in that they were going to go ultra conservative. You know, Stidham had that. It was a screen pass on like the fourth or fifth play of the game where he just rocketed it, you know, past a receiver.
Right.
And you're like, oh boy, okay, maybe he doesn't have that confidence. But then, you know, he throws a long completion and throws a touchdown a couple plays later. And it felt like Denver had some modicum of momentum. But ultimately, guys, in a game that turned into a slot fest in the snow and the wind, you know, it was New England that was kind of better equipped to handle that. I mean, they ended up having five explosive runs on the day, zero for the Denver Broncos. They found ways to move the chains with Ramondre Stevenson. Denver's running game, which was totally absent against a bad run defense in Buffalo, I thought was even worse this week when they absolutely had to have it. They did not have a single play, guys, go for longer than 9 yards in the entire second half.
What did you think of McVay not going for two late in the third quarter to make it a three-point game?
See, I thought that was maybe the more egregious offense than, you know, going for it on fourth down and failing. You know, I thought that was your chance to make that a field goal game and put yourself in position to tie. I had no problem with McVay hitting the gas on fourth down. You know, it was right on that line with about 5 minutes left where you could make a case either way. And, you know, I think in some ways he was vindicated for that decision because they still had plenty of time to get a stop and get the ball back, which, yeah, they did. But there was 25 seconds left. You had to go 90 yards. It just wasn't going to happen. The Rams defense couldn't get that stop that they needed. You know, they couldn't get that quick three and out that it feels like most defenses can get in those spots when the opponent is just trying to run out clock. So I didn't really have a problem with McVay going for it on the fourth down, but you're totally right. I think there should have been some foresight there to go for two, you know, especially given how Seattle beat the Rams with 3 2-point conversions during the regular season. Mm-hmm. This was a much better Sean McVay game overall than what we saw last week against the Bears. But those are the little things, right, that you don't expect someone with the profile of Sean McVay to mess up in this spot.
Well said. Totally agree with that comment. And now the books opened up. The Seahawks about 5 last night, did touch 5.5. Buyback on the Patriots down to 4.5. Now totals at 45.5 or 46. Your early thoughts here on the big game?
Yeah, I'm not surprised that we saw that almost immediate move towards Seattle just because of kind of the reputation of these two teams. Yeah, I think everybody has come to respect the New England Patriots, but the dominant narrative is still this team hasn't played anybody. And even though, guys, they have faced 3 excellent defenses on this path to the Super Bowl, I think people are going to look at what New England has done offensively and, you know, come away a little bit wanting, right? I mean, I tweeted something last night saying that, you know, the Patriots scored 54 total points in these 3 wins, which is by far the fewest ever in a 3-game run-up to the Super Bowl. And, you know, I got a lot of Patriots fans in my mentions saying, well, yeah, they held the opponent to 26. Like, that is true. And they played 2 snow games. They faced 3 defenses that are top 10 in DVOA, and now they're going to face the number 1 DVOA defense. So I think we do need to give the Pats credit for this defensive gauntlet that they've gone through, but it's really hard to come away from what we watched, a 10-7 game, you know, an ugly game against Houston, an ugly game against the Chargers, look at what the Seattle defense has done all season and feel confident in the New England Patriots. So I do think Seattle will end up being by far the public side, but I mean, if this thing gets back out to 5.5, if it touches 6, I think there has to be some buyback here on New England. I mean, we did see the Rams move the ball pretty effectively against that Seattle defense for the second time this season, by the way. You know, it's hard to imagine that New England will be able to lean on the run the way that they have through these first 3 playoff games. So one way that I'm looking to attack this game right away, something I went out and played last night, is the over 31.5 pass attempts for Drake May. I think this has to be a Drake May game, that this cannot be a spot where Ramondre Stevenson is carrying the ball 20 plus times. I see no world in which that script is playing out.
Okay, that was your first bet. Have you made any other bets since?
You know, the other one I like is also a Drake May prop, which ended up cashing yesterday, the over 6.5 rushes. I just see this as a spot where they kind of have to turn things over to Drake May. You know, maybe you could generate an explosive on the ground with Travion Henderson, who somehow only played 4 snaps yesterday in what was such a run heavy game. But other than that, you know, I just don't feel like you can confidently run on Seattle. And much like we saw in the Denver game and like we saw in the Chargers game in the wild card round, when you have a defense like Seattle that's going to be able to get pressure on that quarterback, you know, they mix in scripted runs every now and then for Drake May, but a lot of these are, all right, Drake May is immediately flush from the pocket. He can pick up 6 yards. He's going to do that. So I do think this is going to be a game that is won or lost on the arm and the legs of Drake May. Hard for me to find much that I liked initially on the Seattle side, guys. You know, the Kenneth Walker props feel like they're juiced up a little bit. You know, this New England defense has played extremely well. They've shut down the run for the last month, and it felt to me like Kenneth Walker had more yards last night than the final box score indicated. So I'm staying away from that. The only other thing that really jumped out to me for Seattle would be the over 2.5 catches for Cooper Kupp. I think games like this, games like yesterday,
yes,
that's the reason you go out and get Cooper Kupp. Mm.
Yes, I'm with you on that one. Good observation. A tough scene over the weekend in Minnesota, and the Timberwolves game was postponed, and then they played Sunday, and they certainly didn't look like they wanted to be there. They lost 111-85 to Golden State, and so now they're laying 8.5 tonight on the game on Peacock. What do you think here with if Minnesota bounces back and how many turnovers and how sloppy they were in the last game?
Yeah, I do think this has to be a bounce back for Minnesota almost by default. And it's also worth noting that we don't know if Stephen Curry is going to be out there. It is a back-to-back, of course, for Golden State, and they've been kind of hesitant to throw him out there in those situations as he battles injuries. So part of the lean for me is kind of a hedge that I don't know for sure that Steph is going to be out there. But you said it. I mean, Minnesota had absolutely no interest in that game. That was their worst performance of the season yesterday. Shot 38% from the field. They're turning it over like crazy. Finished with 25 turnovers as a team. 8 of those charged to Anthony Edwards. 5 for DiVincenzo. 4 for Jaden McDaniels. I think we'll see a much better effort tonight out of the Timberwolves. Couple props, guys, that I like in that game. Edwards over 5.5 rebounds. Obviously at 11 yesterday. That's not really the reason that I'm playing this. Golden State has just not been a very good rebounding team, and that's been even worse since Jimmy Butler went down. Edwards gone over this number in 3 straight, averaging just under 6 boards per game in his last 20. And then I like the over 12.5 assists plus rebounds for Julius Randle. Even in that slot fest yesterday, still got to 11 assists plus boards in that game. And again, the Wolves wasted like 30 possessions in that game on turnovers, right, and bad shots, and we're not hitting anything, 38% from the field. So all of this is kind of leading me toward feeling like we get at least some degree of a bounce back tonight for Minnesota.
All right, you went on with Dustin Sweetelson last night on Cashing Out, and you made the case for Charlotte at the time, plus 2.5 against the 76ers. I get it, no lead safe in the NBA. 8 minutes to play in the third quarter. They're up 82-48 over Philadelphia right now. They're almost up by 40. My God.
What?
Yeah. It's bonkers right now what's going on in the game. So you do, in about a minute here, you like Cleveland as well against Orlando tonight?
I lean Cleveland.
Okay.
Yeah, and this is a really tough one to evaluate, guys, because we have two of the three worst ATS teams in the NBA going at it. I mean, these are the two teams that when you see like a 9.5, 10.5 type of line, I just bet against them every single night. And now, of course, they're playing each other. But I am more down on what I'm seeing from Orlando lately than I am the Cavs. Cleveland's without Darius Garland. The numbers would tell you they have played better on both ends without Darius Garland this season, whereas with Orlando, you have Franz Wagner out of the lineup. That has been disastrous for them. I mean, Desmond Bane has started to play better of late, but still been kind of a letdown overall. Banchero has been super inefficient. So I think this is a spot in a rematch of a game that we saw in Orlando on Saturday. Cavs dominated that game. Now they play him at home. I'm on the Cavs tonight to cover the 5.5. Orlando's lost 3 in a row. They failed to cover 6 of their last 8. All 3 of those losses came by double digits.
All right, Nick, thanks for the time, man. Best of luck tonight. Have a good week.
Appreciate it, guys.
There you go. Nick Whalen with RotoWire up next. Win some, lose some. Paulie has a 1,000-1 shot that hit over the weekend.
Win some, lose some is sponsored by the Sharp Plays.
Were you a winner last night?
Wow, winning.
Or was it a rough one?
Well, they can't all be winners, can they?
Loser! You're a loser!
Paulie Howard recaps the night in sports betting in Win Some, Lose Some.
All right, congrats if you had the big tickets out there, and a lot of them hit. But this one at BetMGM, the exact matchup before the season was 1,000-1, a Patriots-Seahawks Super Bowl. Patriots were plus 550 to win the division. They were 13-1. after a couple games. They were 30-1 to win the AFC. After week three, they were 130-1 to win the Super Bowl. First touchdown, Sutton 15-1. Mims, most receiving yards in the game, plus 550. Stevenson got there. Most rushing yards, both games, 6-1.
All right.
There you go. Both games, scoreless fourth quarter. Who had that? Especially after a 14-14 third quarter in Seattle. Patriots win by 1 to 5 points, plus 345. Highest scoring quarter, had the most points, so tie was 8-1 at Circa. Seattle wins the NFC 28-1. First touchdown, Walker 5-1. Bobo, send him in anytime, 28-1. Four catches the whole season.
Yeah.
You got to be bleeping me.
He looked good on that route, by the way.
I can't believe that. And now he's down to 10-1 in the Super Bowl. Come on. That's one of the biggest anytime touchdowns for a skill position player?
No doubt.
Scoreless quarter, plus 340. Cup anytime, 3-1. Parkinson, most yards for a tight end, plus 550. Seahawks win by 1-5, plus 365. Highest scoring quarter was the third, plus 550. Paul Charchian did it again. Corum, three catches, 16-1. 20 yards receiving, plus 950. Thanks to the people who sent in the tickets as well, as they took Charch's advice.
It was such a great breakdown on Corum with us this week. Unfortunately for here in us in Nevada, good luck finding props on that. That's a Bet 365 special, I think.
JSN and Puka, 300 yards combined, plus 850. 250, 3-1. Puka, 50 yards each half, plus 340. Puka and JSN, 5 yards each quarter, 5-1. 10 yards each quarter, 15-1.
Well, that game had everything. All the stars scored in that game as well, as you're talking about here.
Stafford and Darnold, 600 yards passing, plus 375. 700 yards, 12-1. Unbelievable quarterback play. Pelicans, 4-1 on the money line yesterday. Raptors, 4-1. Friday, the Pacers, 7-1. And Denver, plus 230. OKC loses back-to-back home games as huge favorite. They lost as a 15-point favorite to the Pacers.
Yeah.
Here we go again.
And again, 11-point favorites yesterday.
UFC, Gaethje by decision, 6-1. Gaethje by decision, 10-1. Nice call, Lou Finocchiaro. Krylov, round 3, 10-1. Hockey, Wild, 8 overs in a row, 14-1 overrun for the game. Ottawa finally had a loser, but a 13-1 overrun in the first period. Subscribe, be part of the team, VSiN.com, our radio and podcast friends. You always want to see these tweets and videos at Paulie Does Vegas on Instagram. Send them in, we'll put you on. You see something new every day. The seagull goes into the convenience store in the grocery store. Says, you know what, I'm hungry. I'm going to get a snack. And he picks out a sandwich. Grabs the sandwich. It takes his time. And eventually, when someone tries to come in, the door opens. And he takes the sandwich out. Piece of cake. There he goes. Make way. Here we go. In and out. Bank job. There goes the seagull.
I'm hungry, pal. Thanks for opening the door. Get out of my way.
Yeah, right. Get out of here. The person's trying to go. Look at that. He's got the sandwich right in his mouth.
Oh,
he nailed
hungry.
It. Sure. Good job. Well played. Couple lose some. Hello with the bad weather. Great response yesterday on the tailgate. Showed everyone what they were doing where they snowed in. How about last night into this morning in New York? 3 feet of snow. Imagine you wake up to that.
Oh,
it's over
mama.
The cars. Yeah. Good luck getting out.
That's one of the biggest snowbanks I've seen.
That's your big boy. Absolutely. That is brutal. Oh, that's tough. And this one, I think this is real. Look at the dog coming up. Wakes up the owner who's sleeping and just... He has the bowl in his mouth, jumps on the bed, puts the bowl on the owner's head, and then keeps patting it while he's waiting. I'm hungry. Like
banging the drums here.
That's
come
right.
on.
Yeah, this is something. Look at that. Jumps right up on the pillow, puts the bowl on his head. I'm hungry. Let's go. Come on. Oh, that's tough. Send it a message. Bad beats. English Championship League. QPR led Wrexham 2-1 in the 93rd minute and lost.
Wow.
Orioles.
How many minutes did we have? You know?
I think it went 95. Wrexham scored in the 93rd and 94th minute. Oilers, Capitals, first period under. No score, the minute left. Each team scored. Oh. Jets, Red Wings under 5.5. 2 goals in the last 32 seconds. Before the line moves, the sharp plays is already there. January isn't about volume, it's about precision. Limits rise, mistakes shrink, and timing matters more than ever. Powered by advanced AI, proven insider sources, Locked In on the NFL playoffs. The Sharp Plays helps identify where the sharp money hits before the number disappears. Free daily reports, real-time alerts, and market-moving insights straight to your inbox or X feed. Jeff and the crew have been at it since 2011. Documented results, public logs, transparent receipts. SharpPlays.com. Trusted by pros and monitored by the books. Stay ahead of the line this postseason. Visit SharpPlays.com.
Now, in this hour alone, I have personally said at least twice, I think the Patriots can win the game against Seattle. This is what I don't get from the Patriot fan base. I'll use one tweet as an example. This is from Pasquale. Man, I love you guys, but stop with the Patriot hate. I wish you could hear yourselves.
Guys, would you just admit we just admit you're lucky and you're good, but also you've had the benefit of breaks here. It's the third easiest schedule since 1978. Uh-huh. In the last two playoff games, your opponent has been without their star MVP player. I mean, you scored 10 points and won. And Stidham handed you the game. And all the talk is, why didn't Peyton kick the field goal? Mm. I mean, you're lucky. Come on.
Please. That's all I want. It's a great ride. Again, congratulations. You made it to the Super Bowl. You can win the game. One person from that area, one Patriot fan, that's all I want is to say, actually, you know what? You guys are right. We're very fortunate. We're super lucky. The schedule was a joke. And I don't know if we're good. But yet, here you are, and you have a chance to win the game. That's all we're saying. Lying about any of this stuff.
And I know Patriot fans said that about Broncos. The Broncos
team. Yes, of course they did. They were pointing
that out.
How
good are they? Mm-hmm. They're winning all these one-score games. They're 12-2, and they're not that good. They almost lost to the Jets. It's the same thing.
Yeah, you played, put it this way. You played a backup quarterback yesterday that the Broncos tried to sell us all a bill of goods on. Stidham was terrible. And yet he was better than the quarterback you played in the previous round. Think about that. And you think that you're going to win that game with a healthy Bo Nix? You're delusional. You're not winning that game with Bo Nix. Broncos are in the Super Bowl. So it just, you had an unbelievable 25-year run. And you're so entitled, it's sickening. So the facts are the facts here. Paulie, again, numbers are numbers. Easiest schedule in like 50 years. And you caught a lot of breaks here in the playoffs. It is what it is. It just... it's quite obvious. And yet, here they are again, and I think they have a chance to beat Seattle. A lot of people saying that today after Seattle looked amazing.
No.
The Patriots looked terrible.
No, 11-0, ESPN.com. Who's going to win the game? 11-0, Seahawks. I would say May rushing yards over. I would say Cooper Kupp receiving yards over.
I would say May most rushing yards in the game.
That's in play, too. I think that could happen. Almost got there yesterday as well.
Sure. But I think...
that's the one thing that's going for him right now. The long runs he's pulling off.
I think what Nick Whalen was saying 20 minutes ago, this has to be a Drake May game. I don't think the good game plan or the recipe against Seattle is to pound like Stevenson and Henderson here against that defense. Hell, they've been elite, stopping the run pretty much the entire year now. So I think it's going to come down to May passing. And on the flip side, the Patriots defense in that front, is Kenneth Walker going to run for a lot of yards in this game? If he does,
I don't know about that. Patriot defense is great.
I don't think he's going to either, so I think there's... But now the problem is, props are up already, so by the time kickoff is here, like, May is going to be such a short number to have the most rushing yards in the game, it's going to almost be unbettable.
What do you think of Gonzalez MVP? Something like that. Myers, 90-1. Gonzalez, 150-1.
I'm all here for kickers.
Booty, 110-1. Again, I think every catch has been a first down or a touchdown this year. That fluky Booty stat. But if this is a low-scoring game, ugly game, maybe it could be a kicker or a big defensive play. Maybe Gonzalez has a couple picks. Maybe Darnold finally implodes.
This
could be an ugly game.
Yeah, I could see defensive players here. I could see Shaheed.
Yes.
Having big moments here in this game.
Boy, the Patriots special team, so good. Schooler? How good is that guy?
Yeah.
With the mullet.
How about Jones,
hair,
by the way?
Unbelievable.
How about Jones?
Yeah.
You want him for a Super Bowl MVP?
I wouldn't mess around with him either. No, yeah. That's the Patriot punter had a tough day. Ooh. And they handed Denver a gift. They took over at their own, at the New England 32. And then the blocked field goal happened. They couldn't get a damn yard in the second half.
I know it. Yeah, I think the angle there is definitely May most rushing yards in the game. And I don't know. I bet Kenneth Walker last week after the win against the 49ers to win the MVP at 15-1. But I think he's going to do it in the air. I think he's going to be catching passes again against the defense. Up next, his power rating and how he's talked about must take a hit after yesterday. Do you concur? Follow the Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.